And that was wonderful. Appreciate that. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17 tonight. And it's a chapter well known because it's the chapter where David defeats Goliath, which was really something because Goliath is near 10 feet tall. And he's an experienced warrior called a man of war and called so from his youth. So this is not like the UFC. This is not like a heavyweight fight and championship boxing, as rough as those things can be, as tough as those things can get. This one right here is not just a contest. This is a fight unto death. And David won. And as man looks at this battle from the outside, it's a long shot in man's view. But from David's view, it wasn't a long shot at all. He wasn't guessing about anything. David's view was a view of faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And David's view of faith means that God had adjusted the way he viewed this. And so he was seeing it from God's viewpoint. And so David clearly seen that the battle was the Lord's. And knowing that, being confident of that, he knew there's absolutely no way Goliath, no matter how big he was and no matter how experienced he was, he knew there's no way he could win. Now, recently, there's been some movies out. And there's been a few children's shows created that depict the battle of David and Goliath. And I'm just going to tell you, they hammed it up real good. Amen. They made the battle to be a lot more than what it was because they want to add a lot of drama to this face-off because it's something that truly happened in history. And really, the only drama that happened is leading up to the fight. That's a fact. The hardest David had to work was getting to Goliath. Just getting downhill and getting to him across that valley there. As you read in the Bible, there's not any real fight to it. Goliath is running his mouth and he's breathing out all these threats against Israel. He's mocking them because eventually he realizes they've sent David out to come up against him. And there as David's walking down to get to Goliath, he says, "You're coming against me with a sword and a spear and shield." He says, "But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies you've defiled." And he says this. He says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and all the earth shall know that there is a God in Israel." If you look down there in verse 47, he says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And look at verse 48. "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted." That means as he's walking towards the giant, he's picking up speed. And then it's an outright run. "And ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." I'm sure that was freaking the giant out. He's like, "Somebody tell this boy I'm a giant." And verse 49, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." And that's it. No drama. No fight. Amen. Not even close. And once Goliath goes down, face first as he did, the armies of Israel, and then once the Philistines are taken back, they've lost their breath. And so here comes the armies of Israel in an outright charge, and the Philistines realize God's against them, and they take off running. And so that day, Israel wins the whole day and routed the Philistine army, and it started with these two men squaring off, David against Goliath. Now, before the fight takes place, look up at verse 41. Verse 41 says, "And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield." So he's got somebody in front of him bearing his shield. So that's kind of funny. Amen. I mean, a lot of good he was, right? Verse 42, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And you'll notice there it says, for he was but a youth. That is an observation from Goliath, but it's also a statement made from the text. He was but a youth. And then before that even happens, look up at verse 32. Verse 32, where here David is first, he's volunteering to go and fight Goliath. And here he's talking to Saul, and he's basically trying to sell him on the idea of letting him go. In verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So Saul there, initially he sees what Goliath eventually sees. And you notice his words, "Thou art but a youth." And since this is our youth meeting and we're about to go to youth camp, I want to preach on those words tonight. Thou art but a youth. Thou art but a youth. And of course, it's speaking here of a specific youth. The youth it's speaking of is a special youth. No doubt this is the kind of young men some of you young fellas in here ought to aspire to be like. One chapter earlier, you learn about this man, this young man, and how he is favored of God. And he is favored of God because his heart was after God. And he cared about his father's sheep, and he was willing to die for them if need be. And I believe it was because of that that the Lord said, here's a man after my own heart. God said that of David while he was young. And the Lord himself, the future good shepherd, which would give his life for the sheep, and it's David, of course, who says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So he's a young man, he is but a youth, and he has a heart after God's own heart, and he's a young man who has a heart for God. Now, young fellas, I would hope that you'd be a young fella that would want to be like that. To have a heart for God. To have a heart like God. He's Jesse's youngest son. He keeps his father's sheep. And when David's three older brothers went to the battle there under Saul's command, David had to stay home, and he had a responsibility of keeping the sheep. So he stayed home because that was his job. That was what his father told him to do. And David did his job. And the rest of the army there is present. And they're on one side, and they're on the other side. It's the Philistine army on the other side. And when Goliath goes forward and makes the challenge and says, "Send me a man," that stopped everything. And it stopped for 40 days. It froze everything up. The Philistines are waiting for Goliath and his business to get done. They're not going to cross him. And the Israelites didn't think they had a man on their side to match that. And so everything stuck. And it stayed stuck for 40 days. So after David's brothers had been gone for so long, Jesse, his father, gets to thinking, "I wonder how they're doing and if they've got enough to make it." And so he sends David with their lunch and to find out how the battle's going. He also sends something to honor their officer over them there. And so it's at his father's command, he takes off and goes to the battle. Again, why did he go to the battle? Because his father sent him. At the beginning, he's not laying out of the battle because he's afraid. It's not because he's a coward, he's not there. And then later, when he arrived at the battle, it isn't because he believed he's going to be the difference maker. That's not the attitude he had. You know what he was doing in both instances? He's following orders. That's what he's doing. He's doing what he's been told to do. He can follow orders. And fellas, I'm going to tell you something. If God's ever going to trust you with leadership, you got to learn how to follow orders. Until you learn how to follow, you're never fit to lead. The right road leads to the right place. And that's good advice for everyone in here, male or female, girl or boy. And living a life of submission, living a life of yieldingness, it just takes a lot of the guesswork out of things. Just do what you're told. That's exactly what the world's kicking against today. But there's nothing wrong with living a life of submission. The Bible says we're to submit to each other in the fear of God. So as a youth, when David was
was nothing but a youth. He was one that respected authority. That says something. He stood out then. He would sure stand out today. He followed orders. That's important. He was right where God wanted him, when God wanted him, learning what he needed to know about life, about the Lord. And keep in mind now, your youth is your formative years for what's going to follow. I said this at the baccalaureate service the other night there. I'll say it again. I remember when I was young and being told that my teenage years was going to be the best years of my life. And, of course, you know, I've grown a lot older. And I'm telling you, that is not even close to true. Amen. I'm not trying to, you know, well, these are my teen years. I'm not trying to square off on you. I'm just telling you this is far from your best years, or this don't have to be your best years. I'll say that. And that's coming from somebody who enjoyed my teenage years. I did. I was blessed. I have good memories of being a teenager. I had good friends. The Lord was certainly good to me. I remember things in high school. I remember things in eighth grade, you know, but not even close was those the best years of my life. And I'll tell you this, young folks, there was some things I needed to learn. Some things I needed to learn when I was young, and I didn't learn them. And they were things that the Lord was going to make sure I did learn. And so I had to learn them later, because I was going to learn them one way or another, amen. And because I didn't get it when I was there, the Lord made sure I learned it, and I wish I learned it then, because there were some important lessons. And I would have been ahead of when I finally did learn them. Now, I'm being honest with you, trying to be transparent. When I was young, I wasn't terribly unruly. I wasn't disrespectful to adults. I got along fairly good with everyone. But I was clueless to the notion that I was, in my teen years, in the formative years of my life. And patterns were being set that I was either going to follow or else have to break out of those ruts later the hard way. And when David was but a youth, you know what he already learned when he was but a youth? He learned that his refuge in life was the Lord. He learned he could seek to God. Listen, young people, if you get a hold of that at your age right now, you're way ahead of the game. Your refuge is the Lord. You need to learn to lean and flee to him, amen. He learned to follow orders. He learned what it took to be a shepherd. He had hands-on experience at that time there. And then when it came time, and listen, there was a specific time when he was supposed to show up on the battlefield. He showed up in the right place at the right time, just doing what he was supposed to do. He didn't have to figure anything out. His dad said, stay home, keep the sheep. That's what he did. He learned what he needed to learn there. And when dad said, go see how your brothers are doing, he showed up at the battle at the right time. He was in the will of God. We know when he was but a youth, he got anointed to be the king in Israel. He got anointed to be the next king. This happens back in the chapter before. If you look back there at chapter 16, just one chapter before, verse 12, 16 verse 12, says, and he sent and brought him in. This is the prophet Samuel sending for David. Now he was ruddy, and that means he looked healthy. He had a good color. He looked healthy and alive, and with all of a beautiful countenance, which probably means he smiles. Amen. That's a good thing. Smile. That'll help you. And goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him. For this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So David gets anointed to be the king of Israel when he was but a youth. And he was chosen by the Lord at that time. God chose him when he was but a youth. Now, he's not going to be the king for at least another 15 years. So what things the Lord used to form his character to get him to that point, the Lord was going to further use life to further form his character to what he needed to be the king God desired him to be. But it was while he was a youth that the Lord chose him. And what's more, as we just read, it was while he was but a youth that the Spirit of God came on him. And it was good that that happened. Because in the next chapter it tells us that the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, who was king at that present time. And then it says, an evil spirit troubled him. See, Saul was, he was about getting his credit, getting his due, getting his respect, getting his attention. He's about that. And so in that insecurity, the devil gave him a fit. And he'd get all tore up there and get in these terrible moods and would become violent at times and just lose his cool. And someone thought, you know, listen now, they thought, this man needs to get some peace. Saul would be throwing things and losing his mind. They think, well, you know, he needs something to calm him down. And they decided, and they were right. What he needed was good music. Saul needed good music, so they searched for someone that could provide for him that good music for the purpose of dealing with that evil spirit that would come upon him. And even though David was but a youth, he was the answer to that dilemma. Look at verse 17 of chapter 16. It says, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. That's amazing. He's talking about a youth here. He's talking about a young man. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Now, this is after, of course, word has got out that David has killed a lion and David has killed a bear because he was protecting his father's flock. And it wasn't because he's just a good hunter. It was because he was a good shepherd. He took care of what he had in his flock, and he was willing to risk his life and risk his neck doing it. And so something was committed to his trust, and he was serious about it. He was serious about it. That's why he took out after a bear and then after a lion when they had taken part of his flock. And you know what happened? Word got out. He wasn't trying to make a statement at all. He just did what he was supposed to do. He wasn't saying, look at me, watch this. And he just did what he was supposed to do. Amen. And it added to his testimony, and that gets going there. And see, when there was no danger at all, that is, when there wasn't a lion around, when there wasn't a bear around, what was he doing? He's watching sheep, and he's playing good music. He's playing good music. He was singing songs to the Lord, just like you standing up here tonight. He's out there all alone, watching sheep, and he's having church. He's worshiping God all by himself. So listen, guys, when David was but a youth, he was somebody who sought after God. He had a heart for God, and he honored his father, and he followed orders. He did his job. He cared about what was put into his hands to do, and all this was forming his character and the kind of man that God wanted to be the king. When he was but a youth, listen to me, don't just let this go in one ear and out the other. He loved good music. You hearing me? While you're young, develop a good ear for good music. For good music, not this worldly stuff that'll puff you up and pump you up, amen, and make you sad and put you in the ditch when you don't need to be, and it'll make you mad about things that don't matter, amen, and just all this rebellion and sex and all this stuff that these worldly songs are about. Listen, David loved songs that worship the Lord. He not only loved the Psalms, he wrote a lot of them. Matter of fact, he wrote most of them that we have in our Bible today. And when he was out there singing to the Lord, keeping those sheep, somewhere, someway, someone ran across him. And they heard something. They looked over there in that field and they got a little closer. And they thought, boy, those are some lucky sheep. That's some good music. Listen to that voice. And later, that same guy's talking shop there with the guys in town. And he's saying, you know, hey, there's this youth out there keeping sheep out there in the middle of nowhere. And man, he's wearing it out singing. I mean, I could have listened to that guy all day long. And while he's talking like that there, he says he's just a youth. And one of those guys says, well, he may be a youth, but he killed a bear. And he killed a lion. You wouldn't want to mess with him. And when that guy, hearing about this, later shows up there with Saul And they're finding out, you know, what he needs is some good music that'll give him some peace and settle down his heart. And that guy said, I know just the guy. I ran across him the other day, and David hadn't put out any resumes. He hadn't tried out for anything. He was just doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was where he was supposed to be at, and he was taking care of the things that were put into his hand. Loving God, enjoying time alone with God. And just as God said when he anointed him, he said, that's him right there. Anoint him. When men talked about him, that's what they said. They said, that's the guy we need right there. He's a special guy. He sticks out. And he was but a youth. About his playing music, good music, the scripture says he was cunning. He was cunning in playing. He played a harp. And according to the Bible, he was good at it. Which meant he had skill. Which meant he practiced. Which meant he honed a skill. I know some of this is talent that God gives somebody, but even when God gives someone talent, they have to hone that skill. They have to practice. They have to put in time to be faithful with the talent that God's given them. And unfortunately, I'm not trying to make anybody mad at me, but your generation is greatly being steered towards just getting good with your thumbs and sitting around on a phone wasting your time all the time. And I'm saying, when you are but a youth, and this is for you, I'm not trying to hurt you, it is more productive for you to put that phone down. Put it down and learn how to use your time wisely and develop a skill. Learn how to develop something that you'll be good at. Amen. Don't waste your time. These are formative years of your life. When we were coming up, you know, what people used to say about someone who didn't have skill, and I know this firsthand because I didn't have any, they'd say, he's all thumbs. Nowadays, if you're good, you're good with your thumbs, right? But they used to say that the way that put you down, right? And so David developed something that was going to benefit him for years to come. And if you would just take up with good music while you're young, that would minister to your heart, to your spirit. It would develop a thirst for God. Amen. And if you could get excited about learning a musical instrument, listen, I know that sounds difficult for some of you, but I want to tell you something. In years to come, you'll never be sorry about that. That thing will help you on down the road. I wish I'd heard what you're hearing right now when I was your age. And I wish that if I would have heard it, I would have had the sense to listen. I don't know that I would have. But when David was but a youth, he had become mighty and valiant. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. David was. He was manly when he was just young. He was manly. He had courage. He acted upon things that were there at hand. He was quick to act. He didn't take a vote. He didn't need anybody pushing him forward. He didn't need to see if anybody was watching him. Amen. He just did it. He was a man's man. Never fought in a battle, wasn't even a soldier when they first said he's a man of war. Being comely, it says. Goodly to look to means that he cared about his physical appearance. Think about that. And we're not talking about a flash in the pan. We're not talking about somebody with a neon sign saying, look at me. No, that was the opposite of the way David was. David wasn't trying to get everybody's attention saying, look at me with the bling and all this stuff, you know. That wasn't him. But he did take care of his physical appearance. He did care that he represented his father. He cared that he represented the king later. He represented the kingdom when he became king. See, it wasn't a matter of pride. It was a matter of honor. And of course, as a preacher, a shepherd, myself, I want you young people to have that same desire. That same desire to present yourself in public in a way that is comely, in a way that is becoming of a saint, in a way that honors the Lord. Amen. I don't apologize for saying it. I don't want you to get caught up in all this piercing stuff and tattoos, amen, and going to public places, girls, wearing your pajamas. There's no dignity. There's no honor in that. Amen. God help us. I mean, I know if a person has a tattoo, it's too late. Probably permanent. I don't understand all that. But I understand this. Most of them would tell you it was a mistake. Most of them would tell you it was a costly mistake. Amen. I mean, anything you break or make fellowship about, I'm just trying to warn you before you make that mistake, don't waste your money and keep your body in a way that honors the Lord. Amen. David was prudent in matters. You see that in Scripture, meaning he avoided trouble. He seen things were getting tense. He realized, you know, Saul's not, he's getting upset every time something good happens. And so he avoids him because he was wise. He behaved himself wisely. He avoided traps and bad situations. And most importantly, it says these words, when he was but a youth, it says the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. This fact, David's youth, that was to the amazement of Goliath and to the objection of Saul, which we read, that was our opening text, didn't stop the Lord. When he was but a youth, God said, "How can you use that boy?" Saul said, "You can't fight him." And Goliath said, "That's who you sent?" And the Lord said, "I got plans for him." When he was but a youth. I mean, you look at that situation there in verse 44. When Goliath saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. So understand, your youth is not, I'm telling you, it's not the best days of your life, but it's one of the most important periods of your life if you'll use it wisely. Because there's a character being formed. Your mind works so good right now. Your mind works so good right now. There's things you can learn, and you can learn it quick. If you make yourself available to truth and be receptive to it, learn how to be receptive to truth, to be dedicated to receiving something from God. Man, your heart is in such a condition that it's easily malleable. God will easily conform, and there's things that the Lord can do for you right now that's going to take a little bit of effort later on down the road. I mean, there's a reason why God says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." He says, "While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." I'm just telling you, this is no time to be messing around and wasting your time. Even though you are but a youth, you can still know the ways of the Lord. You can still know the ways of the Lord, as David was explaining to Saul, trying to persuade him that sending him to face Goliath, it was the right thing to do. It was the wise thing to do. If you look back up there at verse 36 of chapter 17, verse 36 says, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Now you read that, you might think, well, David is a young guy, he's full of himself. But that's not true. Somebody that thinks that, they have a heart problem. See, people that have a heart problem hear things wrong, see things wrong. And there was, he had a brother there that just, everything he did was suspect because of his own heart condition. In verse 37, David said, moreover, he said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he," the Lord, "he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." See, Saul at this point, he's not putting his confidence in this one who is but a youth. But rather, he's listening to him. And he's talking in God. He's talking of God in such a way that David says, or Saul says, "I believe he's right." His first initial, "You're not going, you're too young." And then he listens to him testify the Lord, and Saul's confidence and faith is persuaded, thinking, "Okay, I believe you'll do it." In his youth, he showed him something that changed his mind. David knew the Lord's ways when he was only young. You can too. If you have trusted Christ already, if you have believed on him to the saving of your soul, and you know you're Christian, then you can know the Lord even while you're young. You can know the ways of God. Amen. It's obvious by the words of Scripture. The Lord wants your attention now. Now, he's not going to try to get it by banging you over the head. He tells you just straight out, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." That is something he is appealing to your will. This is a choice that you have to make. You have to willingly say, "I need to know God. I need to seek the Lord. I need to know his ways. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. The Lord wants your attention. The devil, who's the god of this world, uses this world to provide a million ways to divert your attention away from God, away from your creator. So you'll waste this time of your life. And when David was only a youth, we see here by what he told Saul, he knew it was God that took care of him. When that lion came and took one of the flock, and then when the bear came and done the same, he knew it was God in both instances that had to help him. And he knows as he goes out there to face Goliath, it'll be the Lord again that'll take care of him. And so later when Goliath comes along, just like back then there, you know, Saul says, trust God. Saul, okay, all right, you go. I don't trust you, but I trust what you said about the Lord. And sadly, as a young man, even as a Christian young man, I'd have to say, I wasted a lot of time. I did, but not all of it. I'll tell you that much. Not all of it. When I was somewhere after I was saved, there, around 15 years old, that's when I determined I'm going to read so much of the Bible a day. And I determined at that point I was going to read 2 chapters a day. And I remember clearly laying in my bed one night, and all, what's going on? I didn't read my Bible. And thinking, I'll read 4 chapters tomorrow. And then at once something said, you won't. And I tried to sleep. Yes, I will. He said, you liar, you won't. And I said, don't call me a liar. You know what I did? I got up and read my Bible. Okay, so I wasted some time in my life, but I didn't waste it all. I didn't waste it all. You know, I remember it's by almost 16, I was preparing studies for our youth group there, the little church that I was attending at that time. And then God called me to preach when I was 16. And I wasted a lot of time, but I started getting Bible-believing material. I started getting Bible-believing preaching. And I started to redeem some of that time. Started to redeem it. And those small amounts of time that I spent for God way back then, I'm not lying, they're still paying off to this day. Trust me, they're still paying off to this day. So I'm trying to be a voice of witness to you that, yes, I wasted time and I regret it. But I didn't waste it all. And I'm glad for that little time I didn't waste, because I'm still benefiting from it. And I know you're young, but even when you're young, you can know the ways of the Lord. You can. Also, you can know the Lord's works. I won't take time to turn you over there, but over in 2 Kings chapter 5, you learn of a little young maid who's a young girl who had knowledge of God's hand upon the prophet Elisha. She'd been carried off into captivity there, and there's this important man in this foreign army named Naaman. He's a general. He's diseased with leprosy, and so that's a death sentence at that time. And that young girl, who, although she's young and she's been carried off, she's not in the best of situations there, she's just spoke up. You know what she did? She just gave witness to the Lord's hand upon Elisha. And they're talking about how Naaman's got leprosy right there in front of her. And as they're talking about this, you know, she says, I would that he could be around the prophet Elisha. Would to God that he could meet him. God would heal him. God would recover him. And as that happened there, through her witness, Naaman was delivered from the disease of leprosy. And he came to know the Lord. It's a big thing. And that little maid, she was but a youth. And young folk, listen, I hope you understand, there's people that listen to you. Even at your young age, if you'll magnify the Lord, you'll get their attention. It's the truth. I mean, here at church, you know, Trinity Baptist Church, just our church here, this small congregation, we help evangelists like Brother Gipp, Brother Ankrum, Brother Spurgeon. These guys are busy. They're going at it all over the place, all over America. And we have missionaries in Quebec and Haiti and the Philippines, Laos, Indonesia, Australia, Zimbabwe, Mexico, Israel, Nepal, amen, Albania, and it just, the list goes on and on. And right here, out of the church, you've got the sign ministry under Brother Schlechty, and he's got his men that help him, Brother Aaron and Brother Andrew, and then there's like a small army under that, and they take care of it, they get it done under Brother Steve's supervision. And the word of God from right here in your little church, it goes out all over this country to churches and street ministries and missionaries in countries all over the world, right here. And you go on down the list, you got a street ministry that's been going on for a generation where the gospel's being preached in public. Bus ministry, children's outreach, printing ministry, ministry for the poor right here in the area. You got a jail ministry in Scott County, Morgan County, Campbell County. You got basic Bible doctrine classes being taught here at Monday nights and then being taught in the jail on Monday mornings, several folks at a time. You got a men's home being built so that men in their life can be restored back to God. We have wall building meetings here on Tuesday nights, we had a great time last night, and God met with us, I mean, 2 hours at a time, feeding them and giving them the Word of God. And think about it now. Think about it. There's a young maiden in Scripture, just a youth, who just heard about something that she thought the Lord could help them. Think about it. Maybe you know somebody that has a drug problem or an alcohol problem or another kind of problem of some kind. And you could just say, oh, I wish you could get a hold of our preacher or get a hold of these men or these ladies and just speak up. Just speak up. And the Lord may use you in a great way, just like he used that little maiden there. David said in Psalms 34, verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, listen, this is what he said. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's young people included. Tell the world about him. They need to hear about him. Even though you're a youth, amen, the Lord's ways, you can know them. You can know the Lord's works. You can know the Lord's words. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Talking to Timothy there. Not just know the word, but believe it. Believe the word, amen. And when you're confronted with the vain deceit of this world and the folly of the world that they call wisdom, you'll know the book. See, you'll know it when you hear it. You'll know that's not true. You'll realize that they're lying to me right now. And you won't be spoiled. You won't be hurt by those things. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 22 and I'm through. Jeremiah chapter 22. Even though you are but a youth, you can know the Lord's will. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12, he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and in purity. Timothy was just a young fellow when Paul wrote that to him, because Paul knew people have a tendency to disregard and dismiss, and they would make light of Timothy because of his age. And Paul wrote to him about how to combat that thing. And he tells him, here's how you combat it. You combat it by the way you talk. You combat it by how you hold yourself. He said, you combat it by the love of God you have. You combat it by your attitude. You combat it by faith and purity. And Timothy was but a youth. And he says, this is how you keep them from despising that about you. This is how you be an example. And he knew the will of God for his life. When David was young, he got anointed for a job that was going to last him the rest of his life. It was the goal of the rest of his life. And he was around 15 years old, 16 years old when that happened. Here in Jeremiah 22, verse 20, it says, go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up thy voice in Bashan, and cry from the passages, for all thy lovers are destroyed. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner, notice, from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. The protest registered by the preacher, prophet Jeremiah, was this is the way you've been since you were young. You would not hear God. You would not obey God. There are some that train themselves not to hear the word of God, not to listen to God when they're young. And then there are some others who, when they're young, they go the opposite direction. They've developed an ear for the voice of God. They've developed a heart for good music. They're seeking the Lord. They got a heart that's tender to the things of God. And you know, all that's happening tonight is I'm here with the Bible, and I'm trying to help you, honest. There are others trying to influence you in the right direction. And here's the thing. Some of you are going to think you know better. And you are but a youth. You see, there's two ways to look at that. See, when you're looking at it from the angle of the world and just natural things, being young is not an advantage. When you have a heart for God and you're young, the Lord says, that's a great thing. You are but a youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we ask your blessing upon this invitation tonight. And we ask you to bless, Lord God, these young people, Lord, as they come to this time of decision and what they'll do with their life. And Lord God, I pray that you'll help them to be very sensitive and serious about your word. And you'll help them, Lord God, to make the right decisions right now, going forward. And prepare them, Lord God. Prepare them, Lord, for life. Give light now. And have your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand, please?